What a great musical rendition of 1 John 4:19. It says, we love Him because He first loved us. I'm so thankful for the love of God and for His love that sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that He would die for a sinner like me. I'm so thankful for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Thank you for coming tonight, and thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be able to preach here to this wonderful church. I'm so thankful for your testimony and your faithfulness over the years. It's wonderful growing up in Houston. You know, we like Houston a lot, but we can look up here to Fort Worth and know there's a great church that's preaching the gospel and reaching folks around the world. So thank you for your faithfulness throughout the years. We've only been going at it for 4 years, so we have a ways to go to be as long as you have, but we pray with God's help that we can be faithful until Jesus comes back, and I know that's your heart as well. I'm glad to be here. I'm thankful for my friend Brad from our church who drove me up today and will take me back tomorrow evening. And thank you, Brad, for taking your time to do that. And thank you for coming tonight, and I hope it's your heart to hear from God's Word. I know I'm not the regular preacher that you get on Wednesday night, just like our church back in Houston is having a different preacher tonight than they normally have. But you know, we have a tremendous privilege because it's not so much about who the preacher is, it's about what we preach. Amen. And tonight we're going to look at the Word of God together in Romans chapter 7. If you want to take your Bible and turn there. My wife and I got married. We just celebrated our 16th anniversary just a couple of weeks ago. And as Pastor said, we have 5 children. And we started the Arise Baptist Church 4 years ago. And every year that I get older, and every day that I have the opportunity to pastor and have the privilege of being married to my wife and the opportunity to be a father to my 5 children, I think maybe, just maybe, I'll get to a point where things will start to get a little bit easier. And you know, every time I get to that point and think that, I find very quickly that the Lord has something else for us. There's always another challenge. There's always another step to take, another opportunity. And we know the devil's working hard against us as well. You know, you would think after 16 years of marriage that we would have it all figured out and wouldn't have any more struggles, or that after being a dad for almost 14 years now that I would just be able to give you all the great wisdom on how to be the perfect father. Now, you know, 4 years of church planting, let me give you all the ways to plant a church. I can probably give you all the ways not to do it, but still learning how God wants us to do it. Maybe you've had the same experience in life, and you've come to the realization that the struggle is real. And no matter how much you learn, no matter how old you get, no matter how much experience you have in a particular area, we all experience struggles along the way. You know, sometimes it's nice to be able to sit around and commiserate together about our struggles, but that doesn't always help us very much. We just come away going, wow, they have a lot of struggles too. But I'm thankful tonight to learn a little bit about the struggle that we face in life. The struggle that every believer faces, and that is the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And here in Romans chapter 7, we get to hear, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we hear what the Apostle Paul had to say about his struggle of the flesh and the spirit. These may be very familiar verses to you tonight, but I hope that you'll come tonight with fresh eyes and with an open heart to hear from God's Word. And so follow along with me, if you will, in Romans chapter 7. We'll begin reading in verse number 15. I'll read down through the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I've tried to memorize these verses, but I don't know, these are some of the most complicated verses to try to memorize because Paul just comes, it's just like it's all flowing out. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I shouldn't be doing that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. Can you hear the struggle in these words of the flesh against the spirit? I think we can agree with the Apostle Paul, the struggle is real. You know, the day that you got saved, you entered into the battle of the flesh against the spirit. Amen. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And sometimes we read that and say, well, then that sounds like there shouldn't be any more struggle. It doesn't matter tonight whether you've known Christ for just a day or two, or maybe you've been walking with the Lord for many decades. You know that the struggle is real. Look at what Paul says here. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. Amen. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You know, as you read these verses, it almost sounds like Paul is confused. He has good desires, but then he has bad performance of those desires. He's not able to follow through on what he wants to do. He struggles to bring his good intentions to reality. He even makes this distinction between it not being him that is doing these things, but rather the sin that is in him. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first read those verses, it almost sounds like Paul is doing a little bit of blame shifting, doesn't it? Well, it's not my fault. It's just the sin that made me do it. Or as some people like to say, well, it's just the devil that made me do it. But you know, that's not what Paul is saying exactly here. Let me help you understand that. See, Paul is saying essentially the real me, the new creation that is in Christ Jesus, that creation desires to do good. But the power of sin in me, this in my flesh, it still fights against the performance of that good. So Paul's not blame shifting here. Paul's not trying to pass it off, say, well, it's not my fault. I can't help this. He's saying, my new creation in Christ, through Christ, I can do all things, right? I want to do good. I want to do right. But the flesh that is in me is still fighting against that. You see, the heart or the inward man, as we know it, can delight in the laws of God while the power of sin in his members or in his body wars against the laws of God. That is the struggle of the flesh against the spirit. Tonight I want to take just a few minutes and give you some things to help you in this struggle. Because again, we could all commiserate together after church. I could stand out in the lobby and you could all come by and say, yeah, Pastor, I know the struggle is real. Yeah, brother, I've experienced it. Let me tell you about it. We could talk about our struggles one with another and go our way and probably not get helped at all, other than the fact that we talked about our struggle. So tonight I want to give you a few principles from this passage and then look into a few other verses of Scripture to help you understand this struggle, number one, but also help you to understand how to deal with it, and yes, even to gain victory in your life as you continue forward. So number one, I want you to see this tonight. After salvation, you are a new creature living in an old body. You are a new creature, a new creation created in Christ Jesus living in an old body. And the two are fighting within you for control of your life every single day. The Bible tells us over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, it describes this battle for us this way. It says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." There's that battle that's going on inside of you. You're a new creation in Christ. In Christ Jesus, He's given you the Holy Spirit of God that's dwelling within you. But there's that battle of the flesh against the Spirit. See, you must understand the difference between having a new nature and having a sin nature. That's really important. Because we're all born with a sin nature. For as in Adam, all die. Right? But as in Christ, right, we have life. We're all made alive. Amen. So we are all born with that sin nature, but when we are saved, He gives us a new nature. Amen. He changes us fundamentally on the inside. You see, if you still have a sin nature, you will continue to sin and you will continue to do wrong, and without Christ, there's no hope. But in Christ, He's made you alive. You are no longer spiritually dead. Therefore, you can do right and follow Him, but it's going to be a struggle. Amen. The struggle is real. In Christian growth, you will never move beyond your belief about who you are in Christ. And if you don't understand that in Christ your sins are forgiven and you've been made a new creature in Christ, then you'll probably at some point just sort of throw up your hands and give up and say, there's really not any hope for me. But if you understand that in Christ you are a new creation, but yes, still in an old body, that's the first step in beginning to deal with the struggle that you have. Because if you ever find yourself in a struggle that's impossible to win, most people will just quit. That's about like I am when I go in the garage in a family of seven where our laundry is done and I pull out the bin full of mismatched socks. Maybe you have a few of those in your house. And I look down in there and I see all those different socks of all different colors. And there are many times as I look at that bin, I look in and I find one or two matches, I make them and I go back inside and I say, it's just not even worth trying to deal with the rest of it because there's no hope. We're always going to have some lost socks in a house of seven people. You know, when there's a struggle that you think there's no hope of ever having victory in, most people will eventually just give up. You know, if you have a struggle in your life and you have no hope in it, to keep trying without any victory, people would say, you're crazy for doing that. But my friend, I want to encourage you tonight. While the struggle is very real, and it is ongoing in our lives, God, through His Word and through His Spirit, can give you victory in the struggle. Amen. He can give you victory in the struggle. Number two, believing what God says about your new nature is key to experiencing spiritual growth and victory through Christ Jesus. Believing what God says about your new nature. What does God say about your new nature? Well, look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. The Bible says, "And that ye put on the new man." Do you remember what it said just a couple verses before that? It talks about putting off the old man and then being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then he says, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Isn't it amazing to think that the new creation that God has done His work in you through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross as He died and then He was buried and then, praise the Lord, 3 days later He rose again. Isn't it exciting to know that that work He's doing in you is to create something that is created in righteousness and true holiness? True holiness. Paul talks a lot about the thing that keeps us from God, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He tells us that the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Right? In Ephesians chapter 2, again in verse 8, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen. You see, if you understand that in Christ you have a new nature that's created in righteousness and true holiness, if you're like me, that gives you some hope. Yes, the struggle is real. Yes, the flesh is warring against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. But if in Christ I am made a new creation, I'm made in holiness and righteousness, there is hope for victory in that battle. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I've already quoted it a couple times. Let me read it to you one more time. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So, after salvation, you are a new creature living in an old body. Secondly, you must believe what God says about your new nature, because that's key to experiencing spiritual growth and victory through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But you say, okay, I hear what you're saying. That's kind of way up here, kind of making sense a little bit. Can you help me make it practical? It's one thing to talk about big theological, lofty ideas. But you know, the Bible tells us that knowledge just puffs up. You know a lot of stuff, you just walk around, "Yeah, I know a lot of stuff." Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and it's about taking truth and applying it to real life. Because if you can't take truth and actually live it out, the truth really doesn't do you any good. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." But in order for the truth to set you free, you have to know how to be able to apply it and live it in your life. I want you to notice, thirdly, that you must daily put off the old man and put on the new man. See, to put on Christ is, and to put on the new man is something that you must continue to do every day. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you have to get up and get saved every day. If you've received Christ, you are His. Jesus says, "No man can pluck you out of my Father's hand." No man will pluck you out of His hand. Christ, the Father, you're in His hand. You're safe. So I'm not talking about getting saved again. But Paul talks about this idea of putting off and putting on. We already looked at Ephesians 4. He says in verse 22 that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And then over in Colossians chapter 3, a parallel passage to this, he says, "And have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Galatians 3 verse 27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ." So what does this mean? Daily putting off the old man and putting on the new man. To me it looks something like this. Every day as I encounter sinful thoughts, sinful actions, sinful attitudes, I go to the Lord and say, "Lord, forgive me for this. Lord, teach me from your word what is right, what I should be doing." That's being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then saying, "Okay, Lord, help me now to put this into practice." That's a lot of what the Christian life is like, isn't it? Putting off, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and putting on. Maybe perhaps this week you had a wonderful day on Sunday, you were encouraged in the Lord, and then Monday hit like a freight train. Maybe things have been going on pretty well, and then all of a sudden, something came out of the blue. A medical emergency, a financial need, a family drama situation. Sometimes we can come to church and act like everything's okay with me. Listen, the struggle is real. We all go through it every day. So how do I deal with those situations? I need to go back to the Word of God. Say, Lord, I messed up again. God, forgive me. I know in Christ you've made me a new creation. I'm created after righteousness and true holiness, but Lord, I'm still struggling in the flesh. I'm still struggling because of this body that I'm living in. I'm still struggling because of old habits. I'm still struggling because of the situation that I'm living in. Now be careful, men. You can't say, well, I'm still struggling because of the person I'm married to. It might be easy. Your wife probably has more reason to say that than you do, by the way. It's so easy to try to look at all the things that cause struggle. You say, well, I'll just put her off. No, that's not the answer. If you're married, you need to stay married to her. Well, I'll just leave those people alone. No, that's not what the Bible's talking about. This is talking about a personal spiritual issue, a personal sin issue that you're going through. Saying, Lord, forgive me for this. Lord, what's your word say about this? How do you want me to live? All right, Lord, help me to do this. You know, for my kids, when they're little, it starts out teaching them little things like, all right, when you get up in the morning, you make your bed. You pick up your clothes, if they're still on the floor. You brush your teeth. You get dressed. Once you're dressed, you come down and have breakfast. You take some time to read your Bible. You know, as a parent, you're trying to train your children all these basic discipline kind of things of life. Adults, parents, grandparents, it doesn't change for us either. I think every day we ought to wake up and say, Lord, I need your help today. Lord, I'm struggling. Yesterday, I said some things I shouldn't have said. I know I'm a Sunday school teacher, but I've been struggling with some thoughts that I know are not right. Lord, rather than just go along and wallow in my self-pity and in my struggle, I know who I am in Christ. I've been forgiven. Lord, this is wrong. Forgive me of my sin. 1 John 1:9 says it so well. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So many times in the Christian life, we can get caught in the trap of trying to perform for others instead of realizing what Christ has done for us and asking Him to forgive us and asking Him to help us do what's right and say, Lord, You've shown me in Your Word what's right. Help me to live it out. God, give me strength today. Yesterday I may have failed, but I can go forward for You. I'm going to put off the old man. I'm going to put on the new man. I'm going to continue to renew my mind through the Word of God. Lord, help me to walk with You. Daily put off and daily put on the new man. See, the Christian life really is this process of rebirth, renewal, and redemption. Rebirth, renewal, and redemption. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, salvation is a one-time decision. But a lot happened when you got saved. And a lot of things began to happen in your life when you got saved. See, there's really a threefold process here in the work of redemption or salvation that the Lord is doing in your life. And understanding this process helps you, again, to deal with that struggle of the flesh against the Spirit. See, when you got saved, rebirth was immediate at salvation. You became a new creature. We don't believe that salvation is something that you just sort of gradually fall into over time. Now, I understand you may not understand everything right away. I understand you may not know everything in the Word of God right away. But when you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He forgives all your sin and you're saved. Amen. Rebirth happens in a moment, happened in the moment of salvation. John 3:3, Jesus said this to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Over in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So rebirth is immediate at salvation. Renewal is a lifelong, daily process. That's that putting off and putting on we just talked about a minute ago. Renewal is the process of a lifetime. This is where we feel that struggle, I think, in the most real and visual way. And in fact, sometimes that struggle becomes so acute in our lives as believers that we may even go back and doubt whether rebirth ever took place in the first place. Because the struggle is so real, you may say, "Well, if the struggle is this painful, did I ever really get saved?" Now, if you're not saved tonight, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would invite you tonight to confess your sin to the Lord. Admit to Him that you have sinned and you've come short of the glory of God, that you cannot fix yourself or somehow save yourself. Confess your sin to Him. Believe on Jesus Christ. Trust in what He did for you. You see, when Jesus died in your place, He took your sin and He paid for it. A lot of people going around trying to pay for their own sin by doing good things. You might have even come here tonight and say, "Well, if I could just come to church, that would help me be more pleasing to God." You cannot earn your way to God. You must trust in Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. He did the work for you that you could not do for yourself. He died in your place so you don't have to. If you've never trusted in Jesus, all you have to do is call out to Him, trusting in your heart, confessing your sin, believe on Him tonight and be saved. But if you are saved, you are in this process of renewal. And when it gets painful, it may cause you to go back and doubt whether salvation happened in the first place. So you say, "What do I do? How do I deal with that?" First of all, go back and remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Go back to the Word of God, because God's Word never lies. God always keeps His promises. And read the truth of God's Word, that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Read the truth of God's Word that says, if we believe on Him, if we trust in Him, then we know that He will in no wise cast us out. Go back to the promises of God's Word and remind yourself of those. But then take some time to do a look inwardly. King David said it this way at the end of Psalm 139. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me." And then he said, "And lead me in the way everlasting." See, renewal is a lifelong, daily process. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Making your mind new over and over. You say, "How do I do that?" Through the washing of the water of the Word. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Memorize it, read it, study it, discuss it. Be filled with the Word of God. He says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I love what 2 Corinthians 4:16 says. It says, "For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish," and it does, because the struggle is real. He says, "Yet our inward man is renewed day by day." Do you ever just wish, "I wish God would just renew me from now till Jesus comes back"? That's not what the verse says. It says the inward man is renewed day by day. So many people think, "Well, I'll come to church on Sunday. That's going to carry me through all the week till next Sunday." Some say, "Well, maybe I can coast in off of Sunday and just make it to Wednesday night. And then I'll kind of swing from Wednesday and make it to the next Sunday." No, spiritual renewal is a day by day process. We need to pursue a relationship with God every single day. And then let me give you one more point and I'm done. This is the third part of that process that God is working in us to save us, to sanctify us, and to someday glorify us, to take us home to heaven with Him. And that is this idea that redemption is a future promise. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let me read you a couple verses. It'll make more sense. See, this won't happen until we see the Lord at the end of this life. Romans 8, verse 23 says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit." Those are believers. You've received the Holy Spirit of God. He said, "Even we ourselves groan within ourselves." There's that struggle again. "Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Do you see it there? The redemption of our body. That future promise of redemption. That point when there will be no more pain. No more sorrow. No more suffering. No more struggle. Because the redemption, my friend, it's coming. Amen. The redemption of our bodies will come one day, and it'll happen after Jesus takes us home to be in heaven with Him for eternity. Right. It's not there yet. But did you notice as I read that verse, He's already given us something to confirm the fact that that redemption is going to take place someday? He says, "We have the first fruits of the Spirit." I've been preaching a series for quite a while now on Wednesday nights in our church about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And there's not time, I know, I need to be done here. There's not time to preach that whole series to you tonight. But the Holy Spirit of God, one of the many things that God's Holy Spirit does is to give us confirmation, confidence that we have eternal life. Because it is the Holy Spirit that is the presence of God that dwells within each and every one of us to encourage us, to help us, to guide us, to lead us, to convict us so that we know that someday that redemption of our body, it will take place. You say, "Well, how do you know?" Because the Holy Spirit's doing His work inside of me right now to change me each and every day to be more like Jesus Christ. Put off the old man, put on the new man, that daily process of renewal, and look towards that future promise of redemption. Ephesians 1:14 says it this way, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." So why does all this matter? Well, until your body is redeemed, and I'm looking around, a lot of bodies here tonight, old bodies and young bodies, but there's not a single redeemed body here that's been presently redeemed. But until your body is redeemed, you will be undergoing God's work of renewal and transformation as He renews your mind through the Word of God. See, with every passing day, the Holy Spirit desires to live out the character of Jesus Christ through your mind and, yes, through your body. Through your body. But that work is a battle. It is a struggle. And this daily battle of the Christian life, this, believe it or not, this is the way God designed it to be. You say, "Why would God make me go through a struggle? Why do I teach my kids how to brush their teeth?" Because it's how they learn to grow. It's how they learn to develop and take care of themselves. Why does a coach make his team go out and run laps around the field? Why do teachers make their students write papers? I'm sorry, it's summertime. I shouldn't even talk about that. Why? Because God's plan for us includes the struggle. because He's working through that struggle in you and in me to present to Himself, as Ephesians 5 says, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The struggle that Paul talks about here in Romans 7, it is often frustrating. I keep thinking, one day maybe I won't feel it as strongly, but then that day has not come yet, and I'm looking around at a room of people that even have less hair than I do and even more gray, and they're nodding their heads, so that's telling me they're still facing the struggle as well. But you know, Romans 7, even though it talks about struggle, it doesn't end in despair, does it? You don't see Paul saying, well, that what I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Oh, well. No, that's not what he says. What does he say? He does call himself a wretched man. But he says in verse 25, I thank God. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I thank Him. Lord, thank You for the struggle. Lord, thank You for what You're doing in my life. Lord, thank You for loving me enough to change me, yes, on the inside, but even to work to change me on the outside. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin, that struggle's still there. But the Lord is with us. His Holy Spirit is in us to help us as we go through the daily struggle. Christian life is full of struggles. There are victories along the way. And while we won't live in constant victory until we reach heaven someday, growth is possible. Growth is possible. The things you're struggling with today, you may still struggle with tomorrow and the next day and next year and 10 years from now. But what I tend to find it ends up looking like in my life, it's kind of like a spiral. Yeah, I still go back and struggle with some of the same things, but I find I'm struggling them at a different level from a different perspective. Kind of like walking up a spiral staircase. And you keep seeing the same view again, but it's from a little higher perspective. And you say, yeah, here comes that struggle again. I know when I get tired, I get grumpy. So, what should I do about it? Well, I need to go take a nap. Boy, my schedule's really loaded up and it's busy. I know every time that happens, I tend to struggle with this issue or with this bad habit. So, I need to pull apart and make some extra time with the Lord and His Word. I know my wife and I, every year when it comes to this time of year and all of a sudden we're trying to buy gifts for all the family, the financial struggle becomes really tight in our house. So I know this can be a problem. So I need to start saving and preparing ahead of time. I need to start asking God for wisdom. You say, God cares about even little things like that? Yeah, He does. He does. And yes, you may keep coming back to those same struggles again and again, but I think in time, while they won't have a complete end to struggle, you can find victory along the way for the Lord to help you. Tonight, maybe the Lord has challenged you in your heart. Maybe it's just the admission, I have a struggle. Instead of trying to just push that down tonight, say, well, I'm just going to tough it out and just live it out another day. I would ask you, just a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes, to just admit that to God and say, Lord, I've been struggling with this lately. I've been struggling with trusting You in this particular area. God, I've been struggling with that besetting sin that just kind of keeps circling back around and rearing its ugly head. And I've been falling to temptation. Lord, forgive me. Start by admitting the struggle. You don't have to admit it to me. Admit it to God. You say, well, He already knows. I want to make sure you know. And you're honest about it with God. Admit it to God. Ask God tonight for strength and wisdom from His Word to help you to deal with the struggle. And then I would challenge you tonight. Maybe there's a particular struggle in your life that you've just continued to come up with. You say, this struggle is so real. I would challenge you tonight because to find somebody that can pray with you or encourage you along the way in the struggle. You won't find a single person in this room or not in this room that doesn't have a struggle. Find somebody to say, I'll help keep you accountable. Brother Earl, I'll call you and I'll pray for you about that issue. I'll check up with you to see how you're doing. Hey, we could memorize some scripture together and find out what God's word has to say about this issue and encourage each other in that area. You say, that sounds like a lot to do. Hey, God's given us all the tools through his word and through his spirit to be able to live a Christian life that's pleasing to him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Would you be obedient to the Lord tonight? If God's spoken to your heart, maybe you just need to come forward and pray. Maybe you need to get on your knees right where you're at and just give it to the Lord. Maybe you just need to walk up and put your pride aside and tap someone else on the shoulder and say, please pray for me, help me. I'm dealing with a struggle, but I know God's word can help me. Will you walk with him? Let's pray. Lord, help us tonight to be obedient to you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your power. We need you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.